Welcome back, friends. I am Chef Walter. The topic of today on Flavors and Knowledge is about a man who may not be well known to the American food scene, but I think he left an incredible story behind. I'm not really certain who wrote this particular article which I'm about to read, and until I find out, it's difficult for me to assign the just credit. But whoever you are, I want to thank you, because I think this is truly fascinating. It is impossible to talk about tomatoes without mentioning the name of Michele Felice Corne, who, in the 19th century, lived in Newport for 23 years, achieved some artistic fame earlier in life in Massachusetts, but he would never go down in history as a great painter. He would, however, achieve a full note of distinction in American gastronomy. Born to a noble family on the island of Elba off the coast of Tuscany in 1752, Michele Corne was drafted by the Neapolitan army to help repel the brief French occupation in Naples around 1799. He rose to the rank of captain, but soon became annoyed with war and sought deliverance on the ship Mount Vernon, bound for Salem in Massachusetts. He quickly became involved with a high society circle and his artistic work widely appreciated by the local bureaucracy. He also worked in his garden as a pastime and particularly enjoyed his daily macaroni, paired with Catalonian wine and, when in season, his favorite food, the tomatoes. Corne must have been astounded when he arrived in this country to see the red fruit eaten in Europe since the 16th century, prized here for its beauty, but not its taste. And although the tomato sprang from the New World in the United States, the love apple was considered poisonous. People believed that to eat this member of the deadly Nithsdale family was to exhibit lovesickness, madness. In fact, anyone eating the tomato was thought to be suicidal. Thomas Jefferson in Virginia is said to have eaten tomatoes, and tomatoes were used in cooking in South Carolina in the late 18th century and in Creole New Orleans in the early 19th century. Nevertheless, it took Michele Corne to change this fruit's reputation. Corne moved to Newport, Rhode Island in 1882 with his friend Billy Buttermore. Corne not only ate tomatoes while in Newport, but wherever he went, he spoke of their delights. "There is that potato," the Italian once said. "He grows in the dark or in the damp cellar with his pale, lank roots. He has no flavor. He lives underground. But when it comes to the tomato, he grows in the sunshine. He has a fine, rosy color and exquisite flavor. He is wholesome, and when he is put in the soup, you relish him and leave nothing in the plate." This popular love for the tomato created some mistrust among locals, and soon after, he was accused of being insane, due primarily for the indulgence of the fruit he so much adored. In the summer of 1831, Michele Felice Corne took a bagful of tomatoes and consumed the entire amount before an incredulous public in a courtroom of Newport. Mr. Corne eventually died on July 10, 1845, at the age of 93. His grave in Newport's Old Cemetery is marked with a granite obelisk. Unfortunately, much of his art no longer exists, except some examples in the Peabody Museum. But the corner of Corner and Mill Street in Newport is still there, where maybe the first triumph of the Golden Apple occurred. But while New Englanders began accepting the tomato, in Italy it was pasta that was getting all the attention, and virtually from the moment it was combined with the tomato, became very popular as well as fashionable. Consumption spread rapidly throughout society, and serving pasta with tomato at formal as well as an everyday meal was a sign of distinction. However, the addition of sauce made pasta a messy dish to eat with the fingers, the common way of eating it until then, and an instrument that was curious and had been neglected until that time, the fork, soon began to appear on the tables of the middle class. That implement had been around in various forms of several centuries and had filled various functions at every tables of refined and snobbish households throughout Europe. However, its use as a standard utensil had not been established. The fork was put out on the tables of a restricted number of nobles in order to impress guests rather than assist them in eating. The spread of the practice of eating pasta dressed with tomato sauce led to the adoption of the fork as an everyday utensil. The numerous models previously known were abandoned. The shape and proportions of the fork were modified, and within a few years, a single format appeared. The new standard implemented had four curved tines, the length of which was no more than twice their width. Any maitre d'hotel could deliver a lengthy commentary on the precise shapes and function of the forks, including those used for eating fish, meats, sauce dishes, desserts, and fruits. And he would certainly express disapproval. And he would certainly express disapproval of any misuse of the utensil. It is a fact, however, that for two centuries now, it has been the practice in private homes and most restaurants throughout the world to use for nearly all purposes only the fork designed for pasta, which has, as you know, four curved lines. Well, I hope you enjoyed the story of Michele Corne. Feel free to send feedback, topic suggestions, or question you may have. We will certainly treasure. That is all for this episode. Subscribe to Flavors and Knowledge on your preferred podcast platform, and if you have a chance, follow us at our YouTube channel under Chef Walter's Cooking School. Keep your eyes on the fire, and thanks for listening. Ciao, ciao.